Well, friends, welcome to our service tonight. My name's Jim. I'm the senior minister here. Great to have you with us. And I don't know if any of you are aware of this or not, but tomorrow is actually Christmas. Yeah? Did anyone know that? Someone knew that. I'm going to grab this microphone. I'm just going to ask, I wonder if there's anyone here that can tell me what is kind of good about Christmas, what they're excited about. Is there anyone? No one at all. No one's excited. Yep. Okay. Ollie. Come on over, mate. Make your way, because at my age, it's too hard to get in there. What's exciting about Christmas?
My family.
Oh, family. Okay. Fantastic. So that present, they were deciding, do we give it to him or not? I think that's sorted now. Oh, hang on. I've got another one over here. Looks like Cora. And hopefully we've got some juice in the mic. Let's see.
Jesus.
Oh, do we have any juice in that mic? Yep.
Jesus.
Okay, Cora's saying Jesus, by the way. So that means Cora gets credit with me, but that doesn't get her extra presents, does it? So it's probably not that helpful. Anyone else excited about Christmas? Oh, here we are. Oh, yep. Okay, what have you got for me?
Jamboree Action Park.
Jamboree Action Park. Yeah, that's pretty good, actually. And I don't like doing this one, but yes, Sam?
Good food.
Good food. Okay, good food. All right, I think that'll do us for now in terms of what's exciting.
Hey, Jim.
Hang on. What's going on?
Hey, Jim.
Oh, is that Toucan Sam?
I'm not Toucan Sam. I'm his cousin, Toucan Jan.
Oh, Toucan Jan. Looks the same, but anyway, my apologies. Nice to meet you.
Anyway, I'm here to help you talk about Christmas today.
Oh, great. That's
and
good.
I'm really excited to show you my Christmas magic set.
You got a Christmas magic set. I love magic. Who here likes magic? Yeah, okay. Magic's good. Let's have a look at this magic set. This looks like one of those cheapo stockings from Aldi.
No, it's a magic sack.
It's a magic sack. It looks like a Christmas stocking. I'm not sure about that. All right, what else you got? That's a mallet.
No, that's my magic wand.
How is that a magic wand? This is a mallet and a sack. I'm not sure this is really a magic set at all.
I will show you how magical they are. Okay. I need you to get me a volunteer.
You need a volunteer. All right. Okay.
I need a strong one.
A strong volunteer.
And Okay. Make sure they get a prize for coming up.
They get a prize for coming up. Didn't you bring prizes for them?
No.
Oh, all right. I'll tell you what. After a strong volunteer, who's going to get the super glider? Okay, the super glider. So if this interests you, super glider, all right. I think I can see my strong volunteer. Okay, I'll just head over to them now. Okay, what about this one over here?
Are you serious? I said the strong one.
Oh, sorry. Okay. What about, hang on. Let me run. I didn't realize this church was so big when we built it. Okay. What about David here? What do you think?
Yes, that one.
Okay, come on up, David.
Down.
Come on up. Come on up. Okay, everyone, why don't you welcome David. Okay, so David, let's quickly get to know you. So David, what school do you go to? St. John's. What year are you in? Year three, and what are you hoping to get for Christmas?
Some toys.
You don't care which ones? What about a super glider? Is that good? Okay, super glider's good. Okay. All right, so Toucan, I've got David here, and he's ready to go. What do you want him to do?
So, Jim.
Yep. Yeah.
Put your phone
into
the magic bag.
Put my phone into the magic bag. Okay, so get my phone, put it in the magic bag. Okay.
Now.
A bit scared, but yeah.
Give David.
Yeah.
My magic wand.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll give David the magic wand. Yeah. What do you want David to do?
Now, David, I want you to gently tap the magic bag with the magic wand.
So gently tap the bag with the wand.
Oh,
that's pretty good, yeah?
Yeah, no, maybe a bit harder.
A bit harder. Yeah? Well, that's pretty soft still, so that's good.
Harder, harder.
Okay, go hard. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe this is getting too hard.
No, stop worrying. Harder, harder,
all right,
harder.
As hard as you can. Go again. Really hard.
Okay, do you think that's enough, Jim?
Oh, no, I reckon we can probably get one more.
One more?
Really
go
big
again.
One.
There harder, you go. Harder, harder, harder.
Oh, that sounded bad, didn't it? Okay.
Now, Jim.
Okay.
Have a look at your phone and see the magic.
Okay, I'm going to see the magic. I didn't cut my hand. It does have a crack on it, though. Was that part of the trick?
Okay, that's great. Thanks, David. You've been a really good help. Bye.
Well, everyone, let's thank David, and I'll give him, of course, his prize. Happy Christmas, David. Yep, fantastic. I'm not so sure about that trick, really.
Oh, it was great.
Was that what it was supposed to do? You're just supposed to break it?
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. Well, I think maybe I shouldn't let you do magic anymore. I think we've done enough.
You're no fun.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, I think we better sing. So let's sing Away in a Manger while I try and clean up what's left of my phone.
Jim?
Yes.
I have got the best present ever.
The best present ever. I'm guessing you got me a new phone.
No. Why would I get you a new phone?
Because you just... Anyway, don't worry about it. Yeah?
I got the best gift anyone has ever gotten ever in all history.
The best gift ever in all history. Okay.
But
sounds
I'm going to give it to one of the kids. So find me someone who is clever.
Okay, so I'm looking for someone who is clever. Okay, let me start. I mean, what about this guy here? Is he, what about him?
No, I said the clever looking one.
Oh, the clever looking one, sorry. What about you? Are you clever? Come on up.
Come on down.
Yeah, great, fantastic. Yeah, give her a clap. Okay, and she's already on the stage. She's ready. What's your name?
Aria.
And Aria, what school year are you in? You're in Mount Annan, and what year?
Going into year two.
So you've already finished year one. So you're basically done with that. Ready for that? Good. All right. And what are you hoping to get for Christmas?
Nothing.
Nothing at all. So let me see, Aria. Would you like some felt fun either with Paw Patrol or with Spider-Man? Would that appeal? Which one would you like? Paw Patrol. Okay, good. I was meant to ask you that before I got you up, wasn't I? Anyway, so this is the prize that I've got. So here's the challenge for this one. So Toucan thinks that she has the best present ever.
I do.
Well, we're going to challenge that because I'm going to give you a choice. You can take Toucan's present or you can take mine. Okay? All right. So we're going to see what is it that Toucan has for you.
Okay, Jim. Yeah. Reach into the bag and pull out the very best gift anyone has ever gotten anyone in all history.
Okay. Very best gift anyone's ever gotten anyone in all history. It is... an open bag of frozen peas. They're still frozen. Yes, they're in ice. We wanted to save them for later. Whoever said that, yeah. Why did you think a bag of frozen peas was the best present ever?
Well, the...
In fact, before we get to that, which present would you like? The frozen... You want that one? Okay, you can take that one. There you go. You can grab that. And let's thank Aria. So, I don't believe it. I really don't believe it. What were you thinking?
Well, the Bible says that Christmas is a time of peace on earth to people God favours. And surely the best gift anyone has ever gotten anyone in all history is peace on earth.
Do you see what I have to work with here? Like, the Bible does not say peace on earth, it says peace on earth.
Same thing.
It is not the same thing. Let me explain. Today we're looking at the story of a man named Zechariah, and Zechariah has a very special son whose name is John.
I think you mean Jesus.
No, I mean John.
I'm pretty sure you've messed up the Christmas story. Christmas is all about the birth of Jesus, not John.
And that's true, but John was Jesus' cousin.
Did you know I've got a cousin who works in this church?
You have a cousin who works in this church? Who is it?
His name is Scrub. He's a toilet brush in the third cubicle.
Is it a good job?
It has its ups and its downs.
Okay. Anyway, back to John. So John's job was to help people to meet God, to get people ready to meet God.
How do you get people ready to meet God?
Well, John told them they needed to turn to God, to turn to one another, and to turn away from sin.
That doesn't make sense. I think I need a volunteer.
Oh, you need a volunteer. All right. Okay, so this time...
Yes, can you get me the handsome one?
Okay, so this time we've got the Spider-Man Amazing Friends felt set. Okay, if anyone's interested in that, let's see. I can see some volunteers. Hang on. The handsome one you said?
Yeah, the handsome
okay,
one.
Okay, I think I found the handsome one for you.
No.
This one here?
No, I said get the handsome one.
Not that one there. Okay, sorry. My mistake. Who would like the Spider-Man felt set? All right, it looks like you would like
it. Yeah, that one. Get that one for me.
Okay, come on down, all right? Now, what do you want this one to do? So just stand down here because she's going to ask you to do something. I don't want you falling off the stage. All right, what would you like? Oh, sorry, hang on. I haven't met him yet, have we? What's your name?
Reuben.
And Reuben, what school do you go to? Oran Park Anglican College. And what year are you in? Or what year did you just finish? You just finished kindergarten, the best 7 years of my life. All right, so you're going into year one. Yep. What do you want Reuben to do?
All right, Reuben, I want you to turn to God.
All right, turn to God.
I want you to turn to one another. And I want you to turn away from sin. Did that confuse you as much as it did me? Jim, you make no sense.
All right, okay.
Give that child a prize.
All right, there you go, Reuben. Happy Christmas. All right, okay, I can see your point. What we need to do is have a look at the Bible and see if that helps.
Okay.
Okay, so let's have our Bible reader come up and see if that solves the mystery.
We're reading Malachi chapter 4. For look, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, when all the arrogant and everyone who commits wickedness will become stubble. The coming day will consume them, says the Lord of armies, not leaving them root or branches, but for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and playfully jump like calves from the stall. You will trample the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day I am preparing, says the Lord of armies. Remember the instruction of Moses, my servant, the statutes and ordinances I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Look, I'm going to send you the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse.
Our second Bible reading is Luke chapter 1, verses 67 to 79. Then his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, Blessed is the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and provided redemption for his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, just as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets in ancient times. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of those who hate us. He has dealt mercifully with our ancestors and remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant that we, having been rescued from the hand of our enemies, would serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness, in his presence all our days. And you, child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of our God's merciful compassion, the dawn from on high will visit us, to shine on those who live in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace.
And I'm going to pray, and we're going to have a look at this passage together briefly today. And we'll come back to our toucan friend a little later on. But I'll pray before we have a look at this passage. Lord God, thanks so much for your good word, and I pray that you would help us to hear you speak to us today. And I pray that this Christmas we would understand the blessings that are in Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I wonder if you can think of a moment in your life when you were just absolutely filled with joy. A moment where in your life where perhaps you just bubbled up with praise. You couldn't help but sing the praises, whether it's the praises of God or the praises of someone else. You were just so full of joy. For me, I remember the moment I became a Christian. I usually describe it a bit like standing in front of a window on a day when the light was streaming through, and it just felt like my body was tingling. I just felt warmth. Is how I felt on that day. Not everyone feels like that, but it felt so good. And it felt so good because in that moment, I understood that I was absolutely forgiven by God. I understood in that moment that all the guilt and the shame that I had carried through my life was washed away. It was all gone. I understood that in that moment, I wasn't good enough for God, but he loved me anyway. And it felt like a moment of pure joy. Indeed, it was the greatest such moment of my life. And in today's passage, we're going to hear from a man who has a moment like this. It is a moment of pure joy. It's an older man who thought he'd never have a child, and yet God gave him a son. It's now 8 days after the child's birth, and the dad has something to say. But let me introduce you to the happy couple. Again, not a real picture, but at the beginning of Luke, we're introduced to this family, Zechariah and Elizabeth. We're told they're unable to have a baby, they're an older couple, but we are told that they are righteous in God's sight. And an angel visits Zechariah, and he makes promises to him that he's going to have this very special baby. And it says this, "He will be great in the sight of the Lord and will never drink wine or beer. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit while still in his mother's womb. He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn their hearts of fathers to their children and the disobedient to the understanding of the righteous to make ready for the Lord a prepared people." Now, if you talk to any new mum, right, odds are their child is the greatest child ever born. Right? They're the most special, the most beautiful, the most everything. Okay? Now, here, I guess I want to say every child is precious. Every child is special. But it's not something we grow out of, is it? Every adult is precious and special as well. Right? All of us are precious. We're made in God's image. The same Jesus who said, "Let the little children come to me," said, "Love one another. Forgive one another as the Lord forgave you." So whether you are having your first birthday this year or your 101st birthday or somewhere in between, I want you to know that you are special in God's sight. And in this church, I hope we treat you with kindness. If you are precious to God, then you'd better be precious to us as well, right? But this baby is still different. This baby is not just precious, but this baby has been chosen by God for a special mission. He's going to turn people back to God. He's going to get people ready for the Lord. His job was to get people ready to meet God. So, I want you to notice the way he does it. He's going to turn people. He's going to turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He'll go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the disobedient to the understanding of the righteous. And it's still the same today. Not much has changed there. To get yourself ready for God, to get yourself ready for the day when he will judge each of us, we turn to him. We turn to one another and we turn away from sin. It's still the same. But that's only half the story. There is one key ingredient missing from that formula. Right? We turn to God, turn to one another, turn away from sin, but there's something else. And in verse 57, we'll see that this child is born. You know, this child filled with God's Spirit from birth, the child who prepared people for God, and like the safe birth of any baby, this is a cause of joy, a cause of celebration for the family and for their friends. And this child grew up to be the person we know as John the Baptist. And John spent his short career calling people to repent and turn to God. And he baptized them. Now, let's consider the happy father. Just imagine the happy father. He's there with his family and friends. He's got his little baby boy. And he breaks out in his song of praise. What do you think he would say in that moment? Let's have a look. Blessed is the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and provided redemption for his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, just as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets in ancient times, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of those who hate us. Now, there's two things here that are a bit strange. You know, I think the language is a bit strange. We'll come to that. But the first thing that's strange is this. He praises God for a horn of salvation raised up in the house of his servant David. Now, what's strange about that? Well, he praises God for powerfully rescuing his people by sending a king, a child born in King David's family line. Right? A redeemer from one of King David's descendants. Here's where it gets awkward. Zechariah is not one of King David's descendants. And so we have this moment with a dad with his little infant child singing the praises of another baby. Imagine if you went in the hospital and you're there in the maternity unit and there's a dad holding his baby going, oh, he's so beautiful, but that one over there, how much better is that one? This is what it's like. Here's a dad singing the praises, but not of his own son, of a different child. And friends, this cuts to the heart of Christmas. And to understand that, we'll come back to the second thing. The second strange thing is Zechariah mentions redemption and salvation. Now, I won't embarrass the person here, but who here goes to Red Frog and recycles your cans and bottles and all that stuff? A few of us, right? Okay. I didn't embarrass you, see? Okay. So when we do that, we redeem stuff, don't we? We drink the can or the bottle, whatever it is. We take it back to Red Frog and they give us 10 cents for it, right? They redeem it from us. They buy something back. And that's what this says God does. But why does God need to buy people back? Why does God need to buy people back? And why does God need to save people? What's the problem? Well, this is it. Jesus is not just a Christmas baby. He's the one who redeems us. He buys us back. He saves us. And that's what Zechariah is praising God for. He's praising God not for his own son, but for this other son, the one who buys us back. But he does talk about his own son. So I'll skip ahead to verse 76, where he says, "You child, my son, you will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of our God's merciful compassion, the dawn from on high will visit us to shine on those who live in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. It's like Zechariah looks at his son and says, son, you are important, but you're important because you point to this other child. You point to Jesus. Everything you do that matters points to Jesus. And so in verse 77, we find the missing ingredient. Remember before we said there were three things? He talked about turning to God, turning to one another, turning away from sin. Well, there's another mystery ingredient. And in verse 77, we see it. It is knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of sins. You see, the problem is that we can talk about turning to God, turning to one another, and turning away from sin, but we can talk about it much more easily than we can do it. And so we need something else. We need salvation. We need rescue. We need forgiveness. Let's imagine for a moment, I said to you, hey, could I borrow your car? Right? And let's say Michael was kind enough to let me borrow his car. Probably not the Nissan, anyway, but let's ignore that. Let's say I borrow the car from Michael and I go for a drive, and this is where we end up. Right? We end up like this. Then I come back to Michael and I say, oh, Michael, I'm really sorry. I pranked your car. And then I say, oh, and by the way, I'm not licensed. I forgot to tell you that before. And then the insurance company says, well, claim denied. You let an unlicensed driver drive your car. That's on you. I suspect our relationship might get a little icy at that moment. But then imagine I came back the next day. I came to visit Michael and said, hey, Michael, I'm really sorry about what happened yesterday, but I'm changed now. I've turned to God. I'm turning back to you, and I've turned away from sin. I won't drive your car anymore. Can you forgive me? What's the problem? Someone tell me. You can call it out. The damage is done. He's got no car left, right? I've wrecked his car. Forgiveness always comes at a cost. There is always a price to forgiveness. And this is just as true for you as it is with our relationship with God. See, because you can forgive me the debt, but if you forgive me the debt, you're paying the price, aren't you? Or you could say, I forgive you, but get my car fixed, in which case I'm paying the price. There's always a cost to forgiveness. And it's true relationally, isn't it? If someone offends you, and I know this time of year is a difficult time to talk about offending people. We're about to have Christmas lunch tomorrow with our family, right? But if someone offends you at Christmas lunch, and you want to build that relationship back, there's always a price, isn't there? Someone has to bear that pain. Someone has to say, look, I forgive you. I'm not going to raise it again. I'm not going to hold it against you. But then you bear the pain as you do that. There's always a cost of forgiveness. It's never free. Forgiveness doesn't just make a debt disappear. Someone has to pay it. And that's why Zechariah praises God for Jesus, because he says Jesus is the one who brings forgiveness. He's the one who pays that debt. He's the one who sets us right with God. And so God carries that pain. And so we've offended God. None of us have walked in God's ways. None of us are perfect. And the price for that is paid by Jesus. He's the one who brings us forgiveness. And so without Jesus, without forgiveness, we can never have peace with God. But the way to peace is through Jesus. He gives us peace with God through forgiveness. That's why in verses 78 to 79, Zechariah will describe the coming of God like a dawn shining on people who live in darkness and in the shadow of death, and guiding their feet in the way of peace. See, Zechariah knows that this son, John the Baptist, he's going to go before God himself, preparing a people, giving them knowledge of salvation through forgiveness, and pointing people to God. You see, there is a way to peace. And it's not inner peace. I know we live in a culture and time where people love to talk about inner peace. But the problem with inner peace is this. I'll pick on Mark this time. Hey, Mark. If I wreck Mark's car, and, you know, the same sort of scenario, and then I go to Mark the next day and say, hey, Mark, I have inner peace now. It doesn't wash, does it? There's still an offense to pay. I still have to deal with that. Inner peace doesn't make us really at peace. It just makes me feel good about the bad I've done. No, we need Jesus. He's the one who brings us real peace. And there is a lesson here that I think we can all learn from Zechariah. Our greatest joy is to know this redemption, to know that through this salvation, through forgiveness of sins that comes to us through Jesus Christ, the peace that comes through Jesus Christ. We don't deserve it, but God loves us. And in his tender mercy, he offers us forgiveness. Now, friends, I expect that some of you are going away on holiday. Some of you are excited for tomorrow. Probably, depending on your age, the level determines the level of excitement. But there's lots of good things about holidays. And I want you to enjoy your holidays. Enjoy eating tomorrow. I'm looking forward to anything with fruit in it. I love fruit mince pies, fruit, all that stuff. Right? I'm looking forward to that. But, friends, these things are good, but in Jesus we have something better. We have something that lasts in Jesus. And I want to say to you, the very best thing you can do in your life is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, who gives you the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of sins. That's the best thing you can do. And Christmas at its best is celebrating the coming of this baby, celebrating the tender mercy of our God who forgives us. Your family can't redeem, save, or rescue you. Only Jesus can do that. I was listening to an ad the other day that was put on by the Salvation Army, and they interviewed people asking, what's the meaning of Christmas? And so many people talked about family. Right? So many people, Christmas is all about family, all about kids. Those things are good. But Jesus is the one who redeems us. I want to encourage you, come to Jesus, to the way of peace, because he's the only way. So yes, turn to God, turn to one another, turn away from sin, but don't forget the key ingredients, Jesus Christ, the one who brings us forgiveness of sins. Because without him, you can't have peace with God. But with him, that peace is yours today. So let me pray, and then I'll invite the musicians forward. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the peace that is ours in Jesus Christ, and pray for those in the room today who don't yet know him as Lord. Grant them to know that same peace. And I pray that you'd be at work in all of our lives, helping us to know this peace and to be peacemakers. Amen. All right. Okay, Toucan Jan. Does it all make sense now?
Yes. When you say, turn to God, you really mean obey him. Do what he says.
That's right. Yes. Yes.
And when you say turn to one another, you really mean that we should love other people who follow Jesus.
That's right. Love one another.
Especially people in the church.
Of course. Yes. Yeah.
And when you say turn away from disobedience, you really mean that we should stop doing wrong things.
That's
stop
right.
Sinning.
Yes, stop sinning, exactly.
But most important, we remember that Jesus saved us, so we are forgiven when we trust him and have peace with God.
That's right, that's the key ingredient. If you try and do the other things without Jesus, it doesn't work. You need Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah. So, does that mean everyone here can have peace with God through Jesus?
Yes, every person here can have peace with God through Jesus.
Does that mean I can have peace with God through Jesus?
No, you're not real. You're a puppet.
Oh,
don't be sad. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to upset you.
Oh, I'm not upset. I'm just acting, remember? I'm just a puppet.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
Hey, before we go,
yeah,
I need a volunteer
and
a prize.
One more volunteer, do we? Okay, we need a volunteer. This volunteer gets a game of travel sequence, a little travel game for taking away with you on your holidays. Okay, oh man, I hate seeing lots of arms up. All right, I'm going to pick this time because I'm not trusting you.
Oh, okay.
Esme, you can come up. You can play with your sister, so that's fine. Come on up, Esme. All right. So tell us your name, Esme. It's Esme. And what year are you in?
Year 4.
You just finished year 4? All right. Going into the upper primary now. How you feel about that?
Good.
Yeah, good. Okay, and what school are you at?
Broughton Anglican.
Broughton Anglican. Okay, fantastic. Now, all right, so we've got Esme here. What do you need Esme to do?
Oh, nothing. I just wanted to give away more of your stuff.
Are you serious? There you go, Esme. Happy Christmas. Let's thank Esme. You have got to be kidding me.
Hey, happy Christmas, everyone.
Yeah.
Bye.
All right, happy Christmas. Bye.